There's hope, there's help. Your host for the show is Lisa Seif, who is a practicing professional counselor and adjunct professor at USI. Lisa invites you to pick up the phone and give her a call at 424-1400 or 1-888-846-7867. We hope you enjoy today's program. And now, Radio Rehab.
Good morning. This is not Lisa. This is Marveline. Welcome to Radio Rehab. It's always my pleasure on the first Saturday of each month to come down to the station and invite you to call in if you have questions. Lisa is a substance abuse counselor full-time. She sort of deals with people that's in recovery. So does Kelly Scroggins, who's here on the last Saturday of every month. And I'm sort of in between. So today I need to make a couple of announcements before I introduce our guests. The epidemic of prescription drugs is going to be held at Ivy Tech Community College on Tuesday, April the 23rd, from 1 p.m. to 3 p.m. So if you can make that, please do. Also, Impaired Nurses Reclaiming Careers is Wednesday the 24th of April from 9 to 11 a.m., and that's also at Ivy Tech. As we know, there's an epidemic of prescription drugs in our community and probably all over this country, and there's, of course, the other addictions, the drugs and alcohol, and the list goes on. I call it a cancer in our community. Today I have two very special people that are sort of on the other end, but really are not. It's sort of what you call law enforcement, and there are alternatives to everyone being sent to jail when they get arrested, okay? My guest is someone I work directly with. I work out at the Vandenberg County Corrections part-time. Brian Holtz is the program director for that department. And, of course, everybody, I believe, know Mr. Dave Wedding, who is the chief deputy sheriff for the Vandenberg County Corrections. And he's sitting over here smiling. And I found out something from Dave when he announced that he's running for sheriff. I went to his gathering, and my nephew, Calvin Hayes, was there. And Dave and Calvin have been friends working out for 20 years. Is that correct?
Yeah.
Yes. So let me just shut up and I'm gonna start with Brian. I work closely with him, and he does a fabulous job over there. Tell us what the alternatives are to jail in terms of your program and what it takes for a person to qualify for your services.
Sure. Well, first of all, thank you for Marveline for having me on the show this morning. I think most importantly, in Vandenberg County, we are very fortunate to have many different programs that are an alternative not only to prison but also to being held in custody in the county jail. On our end, at the corrections complex, we have a work release program where an offender is able to live at our facility but go out and continue to be a productive member of society, find employment, seek treatment. Whatever those needs are, we're able to help that offender meet those needs. We also have electronic monitoring where we're able to use basically the state-of-the-art equipment in a GPS, a global positioning system that's an active system, so we know where that offender is 24 hours, 7 days a week. And other things that are ran out of our office also, we offer community service. So on Saturdays and Sundays and during the week, you see offenders out picking up trash as kind of a way to pay back their debt to society.
If they don't have a job.
If they don't have a job, or if the court orders them to do some type of restitution for that. So those are the three programs that I directly oversee in Vandenberg County, and of course there are a number of other wonderful programs that Vandenberg County has to offer through treatment courts and through programs such as that.
Okay, so who qualifies? I know there are people that have A, B, C, D felonies. There's people that have misdemeanors. There's people that have infractions. If I say, thank the Lord it never happened, went and did something crazy, and I got charged and incarcerated or put in the Vandenberg County Jail, and I applied for, and let's say I did a theft, and I said, I got this job, and my employer says, well, I'll still use you, but you're in jail now. So what can I do to get back to my job or start looking for a job?
Well, first of all, I think who qualifies to answer that question, and basically any program that that our sheriff's office and the corrections complex offers, any nonviolent offender, if it's a nonviolent offense, would qualify for any one of our programs. Secondly, if you know, typically what we find is our offenders do have some type of employment. They have been employed. They are employable, which is key. They have the skills already. Maybe they need some work on refining those skills, employment skills. But for the most part, if someone is in custody, maybe in jail or in Department of Corrections, and they're returning to the community, then they have employment. We'll work with that employer to get that person out the door on their feet. Trying to be, again, as successful. There's always something great, regardless of your situation, when you have a little money in your pocket and you can be productive, a member of the community.
And I'd like to add to what Brian's saying. Oftentimes you have a person incarcerated and they have children at home, so you may have a mother with three children. So you have the breadwinner, the family possibly that's in custody. By allowing them to work and be in a community corrections facility like ourselves, they're still capable of earning a wage and supporting their family and not being a drain on our society. Oftentimes, too, you have people that may be sentenced to prison for an extended period of time, and once they're released, if they're not introduced to a program like ours, they find themselves on the street, and oftentimes employers, they're not so apt to hire them. So where do they go? And oftentimes they turn back to crime because they don't have anything else to do. And, hey, you know, if I go sell some drugs, I can put some money in my pocket. So we feel these programs are very important. Try to keep the people working in our community, and oftentimes people make mistakes, but they can still be contributing to society and taking care of their families. And we encourage that, and we think it's very important because we don't want to just put a person in custody. Number one, it's expensive. Incarceration rates are very high, and I think if you poll the average person, you know, they complain daily about our taxes, and that's what it costs. It costs tax money to keep people in custody. So these types of programs help eliminate some of the costs associated with housing an offender, but at the same time, we can watch them, we can monitor them, we can help them find jobs or sustain employment that they already have, possibly work with drug abuse programs, and just give them alternatives to sitting in a jail doing absolutely nothing. So I think they're great.
To think.
Exactly. And I think Brian does a good job of overseeing our facility and ensuring that these people have ample opportunities to work and possibly succeed, because we don't want to see them come back. And, you know, I started in 1981. You know, we had 200 people in our jail.
200.
And we thought we had a lot of people in jail.
Folks. Yeah.
And here, you know, this summer we had 600 people in custody. So it's just amazing. You'd think our society would be learning and educating ourselves to eliminate that. But something's going wrong. That's not happening, and that's why I hope these programs can be successful and be an alternative to having people to sit inside jails or prisons.
Yeah. Let me just give our listeners the phone number. If you want to call in and ask questions of Brian or Dave, it's 424-1400. Outside of our service area is 1-888-846-7867. Getting back to what you just said, Dave and Brian, the recidivism rate, do we have a lot of turnover, people coming back? What's that rate like?
Marvelyn, we monitor that rate for our program and our success, and we're required by the state to do that. And for 2012, and obviously we haven't finished the fiscal year is how we kind of monitor it, we were at about 32%. Which is below the national average, below the state average, which it does sound high. But when you look at that, there's always discussion between agencies and people involved, law enforcement, corrections, on how you actually determine what recidivism is. Does that offender reoffend? Are they charged? Are they sentenced? So there's a lot of questions. And then how long do you go out? Do you go out 2 years, 3 years? We say it's a 3-year period, and we say somebody has to be first of all, convicted of that charge. They have to be convicted of that crime, not mm-hmm. just charged. Mm-hmm. So that plays in our hand a little bit as well, because I think we're able to monitor that a little bit better. We have defined that pretty concretely as for our agency and how we monitor recidivism. It happens, mm-hmm. you know. Another factor, I think last year in Vandenberg County, about 400 offenders went to the Department of Corrections from Vandenberg County alone. Ooh. So we have a high rate of offenders being sentenced and transported to the Department of Corrections. So if you figure 400, you also would have to assume roughly that about 400 are coming back at some point. So wow. What are we doing with those 400 offenders?
Wow.
What kind of programs, not just employment, but treatment
right.
and other life skills and education, what are we giving to help them out?
Yeah, that's what I was about to ask. You know, someone comes back, you know, you just put them in jail or they get released, and there's no services other than a bunk, you know what I'm saying? So what else do we do to assist people to try to, so they don't go down that same road again? Because maybe I'm wrong, but aren't most of these crimes, quote-unquote, drug-related, if you start digging back, you know, it might be a theft, but if you start digging back in at that person's history, usually it's drug-related.
Yes. Why don't Judge Trockman and Judge Kiley
You know what? Hold that, Dave. I think we got to take a break.
Okay.
Just hold that thought, okay? We're going to take a break. We'll be right back. Please call in.
It's a proven fact that 1 in 3 adults will be affected by a mental health or substance abuse issue. Think about that. 1 in 3. Think about your family, your friends. If you or someone you care about is suffering from depression, anxiety, anger, or any type of chemical dependency, including alcohol, Brentwood Meadows can help. Left untreated, these conditions can lead to pain and suffering that destroys lives. Help yourself or a loved one today. Call Brentwood Meadows to schedule a free evaluation at 858-7200. Phones are answered 24 hours a day.
Attention furniture buyers! Ashley Furniture Home Store in Evansville's massive $1 million warehouse clearout is going on now! Millions of dollars of warehouse inventory has been shipped to the showrooms. Get massive store-wide savings on living room, dining room, and bedroom furniture, floor models, even mattresses. All selling at massive clear-out price cuts at the massive $1 million warehouse clear-out. Now through Sunday. Hurry to Ashley Furniture Home Store in Evansville.
Thank you, Tri-State, for making KC Beauty Mar your one-stop shop. We carry thousands of hair products to meet your every need with over 600 synthetic wigs. Come check out our authentic snapbacks for only $25.99. Boots are buy one, get one half off. And you can't beat our large selection of clothing and accessories. And there's even a 30-day layaway plan. Ladies, we even service your eyelashes for just $4. Stop in Monday through Saturday from 9:30 a.m. to 9 p.m. or on Sundays from noon to 7 p.m. KC Beauty Mar, located on Van Avenue, next to the Family Dollar, is your one-stop shop.
I want my company's network to be safer and more reliable.
Do you want to deal with multiple vendors?
No.
Are per-user fees and added feature costs okay?
No.
How about solutions that are hard to install and use?
No.
Offshore or automated phone tree support okay?
No.
Then yes, we can help.
Barracuda Networks offers the largest family of powerful, affordable security networking and storage solutions designed to protect business users, apps, and data, all from a single source that's easy to do business with. Protect your business. Visit barracuda.com/products to try any free for 30 days.
If you drive a pre-owned GM vehicle with OnStar, you've got a powerful connection to help wherever you go, but only if your service is active. So we're giving you a chance to test drive it for 3 months at no cost, contract, or obligation. Just push the blue OnStar button and ask for 3 months on us. If you're lost, stranded, or need help, we'll be there. Offer good on 2006 or newer digitally equipped GM models. Visit OnStar.com for coverage map, details, and system limitations.
You're listening to Radio Rehab on 1400 AM and Magic 98.5 FM, WEOA. We encourage you to call into this live program at 812-424-1400 or 1-888-846-7867. You can also listen on the World Wide Web at 1400 AM, WEOA.com. We thank our guests for coming in today. And now, back to Radio Rehab.
Okay. We are back. We left off with talking. Dave was mentioning the program, Drug Court, Judge Kiley and Judge Trotman. Why don't you just go ahead and talk a little bit more about that, Dave?
Well, we talk about ways to try to improve our offenders' behavior. I think Judge Trotman and Judge Kiley's program, dealing with them and the drug court that they've implemented several years ago, you know, they've been monitoring and tracking the success mm-hmm. of these offenders. And, you know, they don't have 100% success rate, but they do have a success rate. And I don't know the figures exactly, but they've monitored X amount of offenders, and they found that they have turned some lives around. And I think each time you can turn a life around, it's saving the community. It's saving them big time, and it's helping families, it's helping the community, it's helping the taxpayers. So I hope they continue their efforts to promote alternatives to just putting people in jail and releasing them with nothing to go. And I hope that with what they're doing, people will encourage other people to participate in that, support them, because we need support from the community. I mean, we have to say, what are our offenders doing?
And we also have to talk about
what are we doing
the drug
to help
culture.
Them? I mean, we've seen at our middle schools years ago where kids would take their mother or father's prescription meds and pass them out to the other students. Or you have children that are attention deficit and they have medicine prescribed to them for that mm-hmm. disorder. Mm-hmm. Well, if someone that doesn't have that disorder takes it, it has a profound effect. Mm-hmm. But they're giving the stuff out, and they don't have a clue of the dangers associated with this because they see mom and dad popping pills all day long, mm-hmm. and they're prescribed by a doctor. You know, they go mm-hmm. and say, my back hurts, or you know, my arm hurts. Here, take this, or I can't sleep. You get this. So mm-hmm. We give out medicine pretty freely nowadays, and kids grow up seeing that. But we are what our kids will become.
Yeah,
they watch us.
The prescription pills have they're rocketed, just skyrocketed off the hook. I recall, and I usually don't talk about myself personally, but I had major surgery almost 2 years ago, and I didn't have any problem getting prescription drugs, pills. But every time I went, I failed one time, and I went to the hospital shortly after my surgery. And that doctor, the emergency room doctor, wrote a prescription for pain pills. And I already had a prescription for pain pills. So I've seen how easy it was. Of course, I didn't take advantage of that, but I'm seeing how easy it is to get the medication from the doctors. I think some people just go in and say, oh, I got this wrong with me, and the doctor is going to do what he thinks to make you comfortable, It's kind of gotten off.
And there are a lot of people out in society, they do what they basically call doctor shopping.
Yeah,
and they
yeah.
go from doctor's office to doctor's office until they find someone to write them a prescription for their ailments. And I have a sister who's worked in pharmacy for over 30 years, and the stories she tells me about the people that come in there are mind-boggling. Mm-hmm. You know, the ones that just... they're going to get this medicine one way or the other.
Yeah, what is that? What is that? That drug that they have to now put behind the counter because that makes the meth.
The pseudoephedrine.
Yeah.
Right.
I mean, boy, we have a lot of work to do out there.
Well, I think we've what we've been discussing, it's become very easy to that. I think we live in a society that it seems better if it's easy. And kind of looking back at the offender, I believe, and this is just me and my thought. Years ago, I served on the board for Big Brothers and Big Sisters, an mm-hmm. agency that deals with children mm-hmm. who may not have a mentor, who may not, for whatever reason, need a big brother, basically, or
right.
a big sister. And I think that philosophy can be translated to the offender world as well.
Oh, it should be.
And a lot of times I think it's family members trying to be that mentor, that friend to the offender, and it obviously doesn't work mm-hmm. For a lot of reasons. They're too close to the situation. There's that tough love.
Mm-hmm.
So that model of finding a mentor, finding someone, whether it's a church group, whether it's a friend, who can model to that offender
what
positive living
yes.
looks like.
Yes.
Because it does, as the three of us all know, it does take a lot of work to get up every day, mm-hmm. be productive, mm-hmm. Go to work, take care of a family. There are those struggles. And so it is, that part's not easy either. But to be able to model for that offender someone who can help and say, hey, look, if you need something, come to me, but I'm going to help you, show you kind of what you can succeed in doing, with a positive role model.
Well, I'm glad you mentioned the Boys and Girls Club, because my nephew, who lives in North Carolina now, well, he's actually my great-nephew. My niece had him when she was rather young, and so all of us helped take care of him, but we put him in the Boys Club.
Right.
It wasn't the Boys and Girls Club. And that made a lot of difference. He's a school teacher in right. North Carolina. He's probably in his 30s now, but that and all of us, it does take a community.
Sure. I think you're right, Marlene. I think not only just the treatment and employment, but the whole faith, the whole mm-hmm. spiritual side of your
mm-hmm.
life, those
exactly.
things, all of those components together mm-hmm. when they're properly mentored or when they're probably, I mean, it's a fine balance, I know.
Mm-hmm.
But for someone who is, I mean, it's simple things like finding a place to live once you complete your sentence, mm-hmm. once you're released from one of our programs or a treatment court or even Department of Corrections, coming back to the community and realizing that I don't even have a place to live. That's why our agency is partnered up with, like, Aurora, the Homeless Connect, and those kind of things, those agencies to help our offenders mm-hmm. when they don't have a place. It's simple things. It's basic needs that sometimes get overlooked.
So there are other, you have resources out there. They just don't maybe come from DOC and get on work release or home detention, and you all just say, you monitor them, but there's other services available for them. So what are some of, you said Aurora and what else?
Aurora is the one that we work with closely for the homeless, the housing piece.
Right.
I mean, there are treatment
okay.
providers in Evansville that we use obviously extensively because of the need our offender may have with some type of treatment
mm-hmm.
Program. We work closely with the Vandenberg School Corporation and the GED.
Okay.
A lot of our offenders find that, that their education level is lacking and there's great things happening when you do work and get your GED and you graduate with that, you do get a time cut from your sentence. And then so there's an incentive to get your GED that maybe no one's ever helped them with.
Okay.
Work with them. Work with local church faith-based groups to help mm-hmm. provide them simple things. Sunday services, clothing, maybe reconnecting with their family. The
mm-hmm.
whole idea and the need to have that reintegration, not just with society, but maybe also help reintegrate the family that,
mm-hmm.
that for a lot of different reasons may have been disconnected. So we find ourselves continually finding new resources, new agencies in Vandenberg County, the area, to help provide those needs for the offender. Once we find out, assess the needs of the offender, then we're able to go out to the community and say, okay, who can help us here?
Well, that's great. That's great. And we have a nurse that's on full-time duty, right?
That's correct. We're able to offer basic medical services, and then we rely on agencies outside. ECHO, obviously, is a big
mm-hmm.
one, and also the local trustees help our offenders as well, maybe with medicine.
Mm-hmm.
Medicine that may be very expensive, that they are required to have because of health reasons. And so our medical staff at the corrections complex is able to assess that and find the necessary maybe it's medicine or maybe treatment that they need, and then also offer some classes, just basic, through the University of the University of Southern Indiana helps us a great deal with their health services, their social work department, in offering basic how to balance a checkbook, how to start
oh, wow.
a check account,
oh, wow.
how are we going to get you a driver's license if you're eligible, or a valid state ID, some basic, just basic needs that most people probably take for granted, that we're able to help them with.
So we're just not, people are just not occupying beds over in community corrections. Yeah, there are also all kinds of programs that a person can take advantage of if they, if they're serious about turning their life around.
Exactly. And I think a little different, and just a shout out, I guess, to the community service piece of that we don't talk about a lot. Last year in 2012, we provided to non-for-profit agencies in Vandenberg County about 60,000 man hours in 1 year.
Wow.
So if you take that times whatever minimum wage is this day, $7.25, $7.35, take that amount, those hours times that amount, that's a savings we have provided to over probably 50 non-for-profit agencies in Evansville that needed just basic services, from stuffing envelopes to picking up trash to washing dishes mm-hmm. to whatever the case may be. So that's a piece, too, I think it's important that offender not only reconnect with the society and the community, but also be somewhat accountable and have to do those things to reconnect themselves even with non-for-profit agencies.
Mm-hmm. You know, Dave, let me ask you this. You've been with the Sheriff's Department for how many years?
I started my 33rd year in January. Long time.
Anyway, what do you see different now opposed to when you, in terms of the drug culture? Because this is what this show is about. It's about, we talk about how you can keep from and some of the things that Brian has talked about, but it seems to have, the cancer, that's what I call it, the big cancer, it seems to have sort of gone off the hook. What do you see different, or how, maybe some things that we need to change? We can't change anyone. Right. It has to come from within, but what do you see that's so different now?
Well, part of our problem is the social media that we're around. If you look at some of the programming, your VH1s, your MTVs, and some of these other crazy shows, that they sensationalize alcohol and partying and spring breaks and how much fun you have and people doing all kinds of crazy things while they're high or intoxicated on alcohol. And young kids can, if they're not connecting with their families like they should be, because mom and dad's working two jobs and gone, and a lot of kids are latchkey kids. They come home from school, they make their own dinner, they sit, watch TV, or they're on the internet. And the things they have access to today versus 30 years ago, you know, it's crazy. Another break.
We've got to hold that thought. We'll be right back.
Our country was stricken by horrific tragedies in 2012. This has brought the topic of mental health to the forefront of all of our minds. It is so important for our community to recognize and guide our loved ones to seek help. Please, please call Brentwood Meadows if you know someone who may be suffering from a mental health issue. It could be depression, anxiety, or even loneliness. These people need our help. Call Brentwood Meadows today at 858-7200. There's hope. There's help. That's 858-7200.
Attention furniture buyers. Ashley Furniture Home Store in Evansville's massive $1 million warehouse clearout is going on now. Millions of dollars of warehouse inventory has been shipped to the showrooms. Get massive store-wide savings on living room, dining room, and bedroom furniture, floor models, even mattresses. All selling at massive clear-out price cuts at the massive $1 million warehouse clear-out. Now through Sunday. Hurry to Ashley Furniture Home Store in Evansville.
Tune in every Sunday from 5 to 7 p.m. for the Sunday Evening Gospel Show, hosted by Byron Lander. Byron plays your favorite traditional and contemporary gospel music while providing you with inspirational thoughts and messages that will bless your soul. You can call in your musical and prayer requests at 424-1400 or 1-888-846-7867. The Sunday Evening Gospel Show is always found right here on Magic 98.5 FM and 1400 AM.
Listen Monday through Friday at 7:45 a.m. for your Live Smart Tip of the Day, sponsored by Vectren. These weekly tips provide you with some free and low-cost ways to keep your energy costs under control during the winter heating season. To manage your account or to learn about Vectren rebates or other conservation tips, log on to www.vectren.com. Your Live Smart Tip of the Day is heard here on 1400 a.m. and the new Magic 98.5 FM.
Welcome back to Radio Rehab on 1400 AM and Magic 98.5 FM WEOA. Phone lines are always open to share your live comments, so give us a call right now at 812-424-1400 or 1-888-846-7867. And now, back to Radio Rehab.
We are back. Come pick up where we left off. Dave, you were talking about, go ahead.
Well, we're talking about the difference in the alcohol and drug culture today versus, you know, 30, 40 years ago.
Right.
And I was stating that because of social media, the internet, and how we sensationalize partying, that the young kids are influenced by this, and especially children whose parents don't take the time to educate them
about
the dangers.
Yeah,
it really is. And when I speak to young kids about the dangers of drinking and things of that nature, I will tell them that, you know, oftentimes you see one of your classmates intoxicated at a party and they're acting silly and everybody laughs it off and they think it's a big joke. But But I said, if that was one of your parents, and you're watching one of your parents stumbling around your home or hitting mom because he's drunk, or mom doing the same thing, or passing out in a car or having a crash, you're usually humiliated or embarrassed by that fact. So I always warn them that young drunks become old alcoholics, and then it's not funny anymore. And I said, I had always vowed to myself that I would never be intoxicated in front of my children, and they would never have to witness seeing their father.
Oh, I think someone's calling in. Hold on just a second. Caller?
Hi, Marmalade.
Hey, is that Lisa?
Yes, you know what? You have Dave Wedding and Brian Holtz on there, and I'm jealous.
Keep talking. Say
something. But I just want to put a shout out to those two. They are talking about good solutions. They're dedicated men that know that incarcerating offenders is just a piece of what helps people change.
Okay.
And I'm so proud that they've come to Radio Rehab and shared with us how they want to make the community a better place, along with you too, Marvelline. They're talking about social media, medication. They're talking about the holistic approach we need to take to helping people get better. And I just want to say I really appreciate them, and I appreciate you, Marvelline.
Okay, well, I missed half of your conversation because I still don't know how to work these knobs. So you want to start over?
Well, no, I just wanted to say how proud I am to have public servants like Dave Wedding and Brian Holtz in the trenches. Okay. Trying to help make the world a better place and understanding how it takes all of us to make people better.
Well,
and how much I appreciate them and appreciate you for having these discussions when they're off time, that you all are always ready to roll up your sleeves and help.
Well, you know, I think that we have a responsibility. If we have been blessed not to maybe... Because, see, I don't know what recovery is, okay? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah.
But that doesn't mean that I should not do whatever I can in our community to make it better.
Right.
For the person. Because nobody says when I grow up I'm going to be a drug addict, okay?
Right.
So anyway.
I think Jake Wedding and Brian Holtz know that very well, too. And I'm just giving them a shout-out for being good public servants for us and all of you just helping to make the world a better place. I don't know that people tell those guys thank you enough.
Yeah, and I thank them. That's why I got them here.
Okay. Yeah. I know, you lucky dog. How do you get them and I can't ever get them?
Because I'm Marvelline Prince.
That's it. You guys have a good day. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Lisa.
Bye, you guys. See thank you. Bye-bye.
Okay.
You know, just briefly, with Lisa being on the phone, I've watched Lisa work with our youth for several years now, and she usually gives a presentation to the youth resources summer and middle school camps, and she really does a good job getting down the level of the kids and explaining to them the dangers and showing them just real simple things associated with alcohol and drug abuse and things that a kid can certainly digest and figure it out. And back to what I was saying before, that I think we use alcohol in our society, and especially in Southern Indiana, as it's a social norm. I mean, almost everything we do is associated with drinking.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the largest events in the whole wide world. Exactly. And you know, one of the largest events in the whole wide world is the Super Bowl. And their biggest... sponsorship is probably beer.
That's, you know what, that really gets me. Because the commercials would be Budweiser or the others, you know, and I'm like, what message are you sending to the people that are watching, or, you know, the kids that's watching the Super Bowl? It's okay to go to the Super Bowl and just drink, and then you leave and get in a car, and you're drunk, and you kill somebody.
Right. And you can go to any college football campus and watch the tailgating that occurs, and half times if you go up to IU or somewhere, there's a percentage of kids can't even make it into the game because they're too intoxicated. I mean, I just don't kid. I was at the IU-Penn State game, and we saw people that couldn't even walk straight down the street, and this is 11:30 in the morning. So, and I don't know if that was carryover from the night before or if they happened to just get up really early. But because I'm not opposed to people having a drink. I'm not opposed to people having a beer, the beer stews, things like that. But it's just
it's
you have to understand what are you capable of consuming before you turn into a raging fool.
Yeah.
And it's a tough balance because your body's not identifying, hey, guess what? I'm starting to get intoxicated. Therefore, I'm becoming a moron here, you know.
But
it's just the opposite.
Well, the other thing, Dave, is if you continue to behave, some kids get caught up. Like they say, they're having fun in college or high school, and some people know that it's time for me now to be serious and be an adult right. and start going to college or whatever they're going to do with their lives. But then some kids get caught, and some of that's genetics. Some of it is it's a several things. So they get caught up, and so every weekend they may be recreational users. They get loaded on the weekends, and
I think alcohol is a perfect example. Any type of addiction that someone has, it's mm-hmm. it has no gender. Addiction has no gender.
No color, no financial status.
And once that happens, once a person is becomes addicted to whatever, alcohol or some type of drug.
We all know someone. Loved ones, family, or somebody that's addicted to drugs or alcohol.
It just happens. It is an epidemic that again, mm-hmm. crosses every line we have in our society mm-hmm. and affects, at some level, everyone has been affected.
Right, exactly. So we have a lot of work to do, you know.
And part of that, before we move on, is I hope parents will take lots of time to educate their children about the dangers of alcohol and drugs. I mean, I see
parents are doing alcohol and drugs.
Well, yeah, that's right. A lot of times they just kind of sweep it under the rug. I see, like in the sports world, we start putting kids out on these fields 4 years old playing soccer mm-hmm. and t-ball and things mm-hmm. like that, and then the parents take them to every type of athletic sport event there is 4 or 5 days a week. But I don't know what they're taking 2 hours a week to talk to them mm-hmm. about the dangers of life. Mm-hmm. You know, how do you succeed? Or do we take them to church on Sunday mm-hmm. with the family and say, guess what? There is more to life than the rat race that we live in. And I'm not here to promote religion for anybody, but I do believe spirituality plays
yes.
a part
yes. Oh, yes.
In everybody's life. And I think Brian touched on it earlier. And even in our jail, we have the Good News Ministry that comes in and mentors our inmates. And mm-hmm. they try to introduce the Word of God to our inmates. And sometimes there's a percentage of inmates that do take that, and then they succeed because mm-hmm. of this program, mm-hmm. and we think it's very valuable.
Somebody's calling in, I believe. Let me check and see. Good morning.
Good morning. I'd like to just reiterate what the last caller said about being grateful to have people that are so publicly involved, and that actually, you haven't had to have the experience yourself to be so knowledgeable, it appears, about drugs and alcohol and rehab. And I want to thank you. And I want to say vote for Dave Wedding. This is our opportunity to do so. I work for the school corporation, but I am like you. I don't speak about my private life that often, but I have father that died in jail, and I feel like you said, it can be a combination of legal drugs and alcohol, and it can happen to anybody. And I just think that's somehow what people miss.
Let me ask you something. Is there a lot of dialogue in the school corporation about the dangers of drugs? Are you all allowed to talk about it with your students?
Well, I'm a nurse, and absolutely, because I give drugs.
Okay.
I am able to dialogue with students about that, the importance of taking them, or the importance of not taking them, the importance of just keeping count of the pills because of what you mentioned earlier. I mean, you know, you can sell this stuff on the street, and it has exactly the opposite effect on somebody that is not prescribed the medication. So I do that a lot because I kind of grew up in the 60s. And so you're aware, I think, of drug problems because of that. You know, a lot
yes.
of people that I knew personally died. Mm-hmm. or have died very young because mm-hmm. of problems that they developed. And, you know, I mean, it's just people have to be free to talk about this with people that they love. It's actually just showing the love that you have for your community and the young people.
Thank you. Thank you so much. We appreciate your call. And, you know, if you can spread the word, just do that because, you know, none of us are free until all of us are free. Okay?
Hallelujah, sister.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. Okay, thank you, caller. Okay. Mr. Dave and Mr. Grind, you know I never call you that. I'm just being facetious. Where do we leave off? I thank the caller for that, and she's right there where she can see. Where she can see everything. Is somebody? Okay, what have we got here? I turned it down.
It's a proven fact that 1 in 3 adults will be affected by a mental health or substance abuse issue. Think about that. 1 in 3. Think about your family, your friends. If you or someone you care about is suffering from depression, anxiety, anger, or any type of chemical dependency, including alcohol, Brentwood Meadows can help. Left untreated, these conditions can lead to pain and suffering that destroys lives. Help yourself or a loved one today. Call Brentwood Meadows to schedule a free evaluation at 858-7200. Phones are answered 24 hours a day.
Attention furniture buyers! Ashley Furniture Home Store in Evansville's massive $1 million warehouse clearout is going on now. Millions of dollars of warehouse inventory has been shipped to the showrooms. Get massive store-wide savings on living room, dining room, and bedroom furniture, floor models, even mattresses. All selling at massive clear-out price cuts at the massive $1 million warehouse clear-out. Now through Sunday. Hurry to Ashley Furniture Home Store in Evansville.
Hey, this is Walt Clyde Frazier with a message for every man listening right now. Are you making more bathroom trips than you used to? Are you waking up at night to go? If you said yes, I want you to take down a phone number. Because for a limited time, you can try free bottle of Super Beta Prostate. You heard right. You can try the most trusted supplement for prostate health free. Super Beta Prostate is my number one pick for men over 40 because it has ingredients shown to reduce bathroom trips and reduce waking at night to go. I like it because it's all natural and it works. If I didn't believe in Super Beta, I wouldn't be here telling you about it. Take it from Clyde. You have got to make this call.
Call for your free bottle of Super Beta Prostate. All you pay is a small shipping and handling charge. For details, call 1-800-927-4722. Hurry. This free offer is for a limited time only. Call 1-800-927-4722. That's 1-800-927-4722. Call 1-800-927-4722.
Never play leapfrog with a unicorn. Never run with scissors unless you're a tardy barber. Never wear a fanny pack. No, really, don't ever wear a fanny pack. And never trust a car that hasn't been trusted to Midas. Save on brakes, maintenance, and total car care for a car you can depend on long after the warranty expires. You deserve the Midas touch. Get a comprehensive oil change, tire rotation, and visual brake check for $24.99. Up to 5 quarts conventional oil. Shop fees extra. Most vehicles at participating Midas.
Welcome back to Radio Rehab on 1400 AM and Magic 98.5 FM WEOA. Phone lines are always open to share your live comments, so give us a call right now at 812-424-1400 or 1-888-846-7867. And now, back to Radio Rehab.
We're back. We are back. Okay. Brian, let me ask you, how long have you been doing home, how long have you been program director for Vandenberg County Corrections?
I've been with the Sheriff's Department for Vandenberg County for 12 years.
Oh, my goodness.
So, in a variety of different responsibilities, but as program director the past 6 years. And so I think with that, you, not only do you see what needs to be done, but you also, you can't just focus in this type of work, you can't just focus on what needs to be done, but also the success. There are success stories
yes.
out there.
Yes.
There are people who are willing to step out and help others mm-hmm. and to again, model positive be a positive role model for that offender. So I think you take away not only sometimes when you're in the trenches and you see the bad, the nasty, and the ugly, you also have to stop and take a look at the positive, that there is some type of positive in the end, a result. There is something being done that is productive.
If one life can be saved, you know, I look at it that way, too. Of course, I have a real big concern about the African-American community as it relates to incarceration, the drug culture, so forth and so on. And the percentage of African-Americans incarcerated opposed to our percentage in this country. 40% of black men in this country are unemployed. There's something wrong with that. Incarcerations, 80% of the black men in prison, in fact, when I had the sheriff on, we talked about that, are there for non-violent crimes. And it has to do with the laws, you know. The laws will, you know, if it's drug-related, if you're considered a dealer, you're going to get some time. And you're going to have a D felony on your record. Not a D, a B, if you're a dealer. If you have possession, it's a D felony. And there are some other, you know, I'm not going to get into that legal part of today, but I am going to say to our listening audience, you know, most of the kids are probably in bed, but the parents, there are ways to restrict some of your criminal records now. That law came out last year. I'm not going to do a lot of talking about that, but if you need more information on it, you can always give me a call. We don't have that much time left, and what I want to do, one last question or last comment from both of you, if you had the power to change anything about your jobs or your positions or in this community as it relates to the drug culture and incarcerations, what would it be?
Well, first of all, we are limited by the resources that are present to us, and oftentimes we can only do what we're funded to do. And I think we do try our best, and we have more deputies in our schools. We're still working the DARE program, where some law enforcement agencies and some people across the country, they've given up on the DARE program, and we feel very strongly about it because it gets our deputies in at a young age while children are developing, and we try to become their friend. We try to give them a anti-drug and alcohol message and teach them the dangers of that. But if we had more resources and we could get people in there and keep interacting with our community, and I think it starts with the youth. We need to try to shape them as they're growing up.
Yeah,
and teach them that to trust us and that we're their friends and that we are the person to turn to in a time of need. You know, I grew up, I had a great respect for law enforcement. I really thought if I was in trouble, they would save me. And I think oftentimes people now, they're a little bit afraid of police. And once again, with the social media being what it is, if a policeman does something wrong somewhere out in California, it's all over our media, and we find out about it. And they go, oh, my gosh, all policemen are bad. You know, they stereotype you. So I would like to build our trust between our community and law enforcement and work more hand-in-hand. I think Sheriff Williams has done a really good job about getting involved in groups and organizations, and he encourages volunteerism within our agency. We try to go and help many groups, you know, Salvation Army, Youth Resources, Youth First. And I think it's just a matter of getting the resources out there to interact not only with our youth, but into the parents, so the parents understand we're trying to help you. Help us out.
Well, Dave, back in the day when I was coming up, you could see, you knew who the police officers were that patrolled your community. They might stop and have a conversation with you. Now, the windows are black. You don't see them. You don't know who they are. And I'm not criticizing, but I'm saying what is plainly true. And everything is computer now, and that's fine, because that does give you an idea of what you're dealing with when you have to stop someone or retain someone. I'm glad the sheriff's cars don't have black windows. I need to tell you that.
Right. No, and what you're saying is kind of interesting. We are in a computer-driven society where anymore people, they don't talk to people on the phone. They text message or they email. Mm-hmm. They don't have conversation anymore.
Oh, let me tell you, hold that thought. But my son, who lives on the East Coast, you know, he's on the subway one day, and this guy and girl is sitting back to back texting each other. Just turn around and have a conversation. So go ahead.
And that is it. That's the way we operate now. But what you brought up, I mean, when I was a young deputy, I enjoyed like a spring day or a fall day when I worked second shift. Mm-hmm. I'd get my squad car and I'd go drive to the neighborhoods with nice and slow, my mm-hmm. windows down. I'd stop, talk to the kids mm-hmm. and parents out, you know, doing yard work. Thing. I thought it was the coolest thing in the world. And they appreciate the fact mm-hmm. that the law enforcement was in their neighborhood yeah. because they felt this comfort that, right. that the law enforcement was in their neighborhood. So, and we want to kind of create an omnipresence anyway that, you know, that we're everywhere, you know. Mm-hmm. So you got a good point there. We need to keep our interaction high. And if I had unlimited resources, we'd have more policemen on the street. We'd have more community building programs. You know, we just do a lot more to interact because you can only do so much.
Yeah, well, back in our day, of course, African-American officers weren't allowed to have cars, so they walked the beach.
Right, yeah.
And but we knew them, and we knew that you better not do anything. They weren't going to arrest you. They would just give you a good talking to.
I think you, Marvelline, you ask what my goal would be, or what mm-hmm. my I think ultimately in my position, my dream would be to work myself out of the job,
right.
in the sense that
thank you.
That there wouldn't be a need for
right.
Some type.
Exactly.
Obviously, that's not going to happen. And I think
right.
what Chief said is true. That in our society, the resources, you know, if we had unlimited resources, Vandenberg County itself and the surrounding area, because a lot of people do look to Vandenberg County because of its growth and it's large enough. Is just the need that we have currently for treatment providers. The ones mm-hmm. we have do a wonderful job,
mm-hmm.
not to take away from what we have, but just the need that there is more of a need. Be able to have a larger inpatient program, a larger
yes.
Support group, those kind of things. The size of Vandenberg County is really a struggle, I think, in some regards, to the amount of need for some type of addiction treatment. So those are some of the things that I think I would like to see happen.
Yes, you do have a lot of facilities that specialize in treatment, but how many people really know, and they think it's a fee for it, they're not going to approach that agency. So I think that information needs to really be out there. There's a resource guide that comes out that is published by the health department, and it's got every organization, social agencies in it that you can imagine. And I would suggest if anybody needs to find out what's available or who they need to contact, they might want to go by the health department and ask for one of those.
There's also,
and
I think
brochures.
That's true, there's also the
Resource
United
Guide.
Way.
Yeah.
It's the 211 program, and I'm not real familiar with that program. I know that it's in effect, and I know they do a great job
mm-hmm.
with it, being able to find necessary resources for people as well.
So we've got more people. We built a new jail, but it's overloaded, right?
Well, presently, we're not overcrowded. You know,
overloaded.
Yes, and we have times when we have a large number of inmates populating our jail. But right now, I think our numbers are reasonable. Do we wish they were lower? Certainly.
Mm-hmm.
But it is what it is. And if you're a victim of crime, you generally want the perpetrator behind
mm-hmm.
bars or,
right.
or in custody somehow or another. So it's kind of a mixed message we send to our society because, once again, if you're the victim, you want them in custody.
Mm-hmm.
If you're the
mm-hmm.
Suspect's family, you want them out trying to rehab and things like that. So, once again, I just think we have to work with the prosecutors, the courts, all of our programming, and just try to keep encouraging people not to commit crimes.
Right.
And sometimes it happens in their younger days. You know.
Well, what I'm finding also is the people that did make some mistakes are paying for it in terms of getting employment. When they do a background check and they see a D felony or, you know, whatever, some agencies or some employers, they do hire people with D felonies,
right.
as long as they're nonviolent, but that's sort of rare. So that person, if you get discouraged, I've got a young lady now that is very discouraged because she's working at a job for $7 and something an hour, but she's got family, you know, and gas is how much? It's low now compared to what it usually is. So sometimes your mistakes just keep going with you for the rest of your life. And I'm glad that that law came out last year, because we've been able to help a few people to get some of their criminal record restricted, not Vandenberg County Corrections, but myself and some other people in the community. We've got about 2 minutes, and I just want to say that I'm really glad that we had this conversation. We got to do it again, because I think the more that our listeners learn about, just because you're law enforcement, I mean, you're horrible. You know, you got to do your job. And the fact that there's alternatives like Vandenberg County Community Corrections, that's an alternative to doing long time in jail, or they give you a second chance. You have another chance. So anything you want to say, we got about 1 minute, and just...
I just encourage anyone that, first of all, thank you for having us on. But if anyone listening today has any questions, mm-hmm. anything that my staff can be able to help anyone out with, would be willing to talk to them and at least refer them or help them find the necessary tools that they may need to any type of their own issues or their family issues.
Yeah, because... if you look at the statistics, there are so many people in prison. In 2010, there was nonviolent drug charges over 1 million people incarcerated. That makes little or no sense to me. The prisons are making big time money. You all know that, don't you? You know that, don't you? They're making big time money. They are, government bills and outsourced. I'm going to shut up, and we'll see you next time. Have a great weekend, and thank you guys for coming.
Hey, thanks for having us on.
We'll see you later.
Thank you for tuning into Radio Rehab, and what an awesome show today was. Once again, we want to thank our guests and host for donating their time to this program of recovery. Radio Rehab is only a support to the real work of recovery and does not offer definitive answers or attempt to counsel anyone in their own personal behavior. Although the show does not endorse any program of recovery, it holds the belief that most recovery works are in an effort of true conviction and concern for the benefit of the suffering, and can be trusted to offer real hope and better choices. Radio Rehab airs every Saturday morning from 10 until 11 on 1400 AM and Magic 98.5 FM WEOA, and at 1400 AM WEOA.com.